Hey everybody, welcome in. Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Well, before we get started with our guest and our full episode today, I wanted to give everybody an update again on our greatest Oriole of all time bracket. We have hit the championship matchup here in the bracket, and it is going to pit Cal Ripken against Brooks Robinson, a couple of number one seeds. Cal taking out Eddie Murray in the semifinal, and Brooks taking out Jim Palmer in the other semifinal. And those two will meet up. The voting for that one will start on Wednesday morning, and it will run all the way until Saturday. And you can vote on Twitter at Locked On Orioles for, again, who you think is good, is the greatest Oriole of all time. That's Cal Ripken Jr. versus Brooks Robinson. We'll have some content on the pod later this week kind of talking about that matchup. And again, the voting will be through Saturday on Twitter at Locked On Orioles. But for today's episode, we thought we would get an update on one of our former favorite and best Orioles who was in that greatest Oriole of all time bracket and made it to the second round before being eliminated, and that is Manny Machado. Of course, the Orioles traded him at the deadline in 2018 to the Dodgers, and then he signed that 10-year, $300 million contract last offseason with the San Diego Padres. Now, not a fantastic year one for Manny with the Padres. Not a bad year either, just maybe somewhat of a down year for him as the numbers really didn't match up to what he did in Baltimore. He had a 2.6 WAR last season with the Padres, hit 256, 334 on base with 32 homers and 21 doubles as he played mostly third, but some short as well. But he will be a third baseman going forward with the Padres because of Fernando Tatis at short for San Diego. We're going to talk about all of that and more with Javier Reyes. He's the host of the Locked On Padres podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Javier is going to join us right now to give us an update on Manny Machado and what Padres fans thought of him in year one. And then we talk a little bit about how the Padres are kind of hoarding former Orioles coaches over there at Petco Park. So here is our conversation with the host of Locked On Padres, Javier Reyes.
Thrilled to be here, Connor, and I was just talking with you, and that podcast is going to go on Wednesday. Well, this one will be going up today on Monday, and it's really exciting, and I'm happy to be on an American League podcast for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, we wanted to have you on because, you know, talk Manny Machado and kind of after 1 year of Manny in San Diego. Of course, it's been a season and a half without him in Baltimore. He gets traded to the Dodgers at the deadline in 2018 and then signs the 10-year deal with the Padres that started last year. And so I just wanted to kind of get a Padres media person, Padres fan, a perspective about, you know, how year one went with Manny Machado. He plays 156 games. He hits 256, a 334 on base, 32 homers, and 21 doubles for Manny. Did not make the All-Star team, but and did not win a Gold Glove either. Played most of his time at third, but you know, just overall in general for you personally, and then kind of for Padres fans in general, what was the feeling about Manny Machado year one?
So this is a lot. And what I would start off by saying is it was an underwhelming season, but it's odd because it's not like he was bad. This isn't a situation where they signed a player and year one, you're already like, oh my God. Cause like we talked about on my podcast, which people can hear on Wednesday, this is a young player. You know, this guy was 26 when he signed the deal, and it's a 10-year deal, of course, so that's going to be a whole thing. But it's not like this is some 32-year-old or a 33-year-old that they gave a big contract and you're already like, wow, we couldn't even get 1 year good year out of him. And I think for the Padres fans, it was a disappointing season. It was disappointing, like really all of the Padres were last season. There wasn't really a lot of bright spots with the exception of Chris Paddock and Fernando Tatis, who will be probably the everyday shortstop and will put to rest the conversation ever about Machado having to play shortstop, which I think he's better at third. And Chris Paddock is a potential ace starter for the team, but that's just some more Padres specific stuff. And really the conversation I feel like I notice is, like you said, the numbers were a little bit down. The average needs to go up a little bit. I'd like if he could walk more, although that's not a terrible liability in terms of his offensive ability. And just across the board, really, a career low in doubles, I'm pretty sure, at 21 last year. And that was the lowest since 2014 when he hit 14 doubles. And that was in 82 games. So really, it felt like he was just a little bit all or nothing at the plate. It felt like the only thing you could hope for every time was a home run. You can never expect doubles and just simple RBIs. And granted, RBIs can be a team stat, and it depends on how good the team is. And so that's not really the best metric to always base it off of. But in general, a disappointing season, but there's still hope, I think. And I think the Fire Faithful homies out there would agree with me by saying, you know, this is just year one. And while I would have loved if he could really step up and make us feel great about that 10-year deal immediately, it's not like he's 30. There's still time for this. And in general, the whole Padres team was a little bit of a mess. So it's not like you can put it all on him.
So I think kind of the next question is, you know, Manny signed there, well, because he gets to live in San Diego and they gave him the most money, or close to the most money. But the other thing is, you know, he didn't want to go somewhere and lose. And I think he saw what San Diego was building, what that farm system looked like, one of the best in baseball, and what they had even ready in 2019, even though it didn't work out quite the way they wanted to in 2019. They weren't a tanking team by any means, and they were a competitive baseball team. And all signs point to, you know, potentially competing for a 2020 playoff spot if this season happens. So it's kind of my next question. You know, where are the Padres, you know, in the rebuild that really started, I think, after that whole Upton, Kimbrel, those guys fiasco didn't work out. And it wasn't a super long rebuild, but where do the Padres stand with win now? Are they win next year? Where does that stand, and how does Machado fit into that?
I would say that to answer, this is a multifaceted question, really. But to start with one part of it, I'd say their phase that they're in now is at least compete now. This is a team that I think is kind of a post-hype sleeper. I think that people were expecting them to be a little bit better last year because of Machado and because of Fernando Tatis being presumably called up before the season was starting. Of course, he got called up. I think that this is a compete now team, and I think this is a team that could make a run for the wild card spot. The Dodgers are going to run away with the division. I think no Padres fan is expecting really anything of that, but they are expecting to at least have some games that this year where it's like, oh, they could take some games from them, and it won't be surprising if they do. And the Dodgers are stacked, but I don't think that they're flawless. This isn't some 27 Yankees or what have you. And I really think that the number one thing is we need to see, I think, Machado just deliver that 4-5 war season offensively and show a little more consistency of that potential Hall of Fame defensive kind of play that he has at third base. And then if you have that combined with Tatis, that's already like, oh, all right, we're talking now. Like, that's one of the best corner infields in baseball, I would say. And then you combine that with their farm system, which is still up there. That's what's crazy. Despite all the moves they've made, even some of the bad moves they've made, and even with the signings and stuff, this isn't an Angels situation. This isn't a D-back situation or Brewers, which are teams that are projected to not have a great farm system heading into the year, and at least not for a little bit of time. But the Padres are still up there. Some people say they have the best farm system in baseball. Other people say the Rays. I think it's really kind of a toss-up, but they definitely have the best pitching prospect in all of baseball, which is Mackenzie Gore, who is expected to make his debut this season, whenever that happens. But I'd say that there's just this nice optimism because, yes, you have these guys on big deals, and you have some guys on deals that haven't pulled through, like Manny Machado, but it's not as bad as someone like Eric Hosmer, who is kind of the bane of my existence, really, in a lot of ways. But you still have hope. And that's what's so cool is I feel like it's rare that you have teams that have such a kind of a little bit of a disaster last season, but there's still hope. And there's still this feeling of, well, still got a lot of guys. You still got Luis Patino and you still got Mackenzie Gore. And you still have, if those guys don't come up or say they aren't as great as you might expect, well, there's the avenue of trades. And they just made trades with the Tampa Bay Rays this offseason when they acquired Tommy Pham and Emilio Pagan, which was back when I first started the podcast that happened. So that was really great material to start out with. And they're expected to have a great bullpen. You see, I'm already getting excited just talking about it. I really wish baseball was here to kind of hopefully prove my optimism on the Padres correctly. and whatnot. But I'd say that it's a compete now team, just to tie a little bit of bow on this little question and just say compete now and hopefully just show more signs of life. Have Mackenzie Gore come up and be like, yes, I'm going to show just as much potential as Fernando Tatis did in his first season. Maybe that's a little bit too high of a ceiling to set, but still, I think that this is a really exciting team, and I think that it is a overlooked team in a lot of ways.
You still need to eat, but don't want to cook right now? That's where Postmates comes in. Right now, if you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door, but Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make my life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery to. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. Anything that's still open right now. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. Don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. Yeah, and the Padres were a team, you know, I was excited to watch last year and didn't work out completely, but they were still a solid team, and it could get even better, you know, if we ever start this season. But the last thing on Machado, and you know, this is definitely from more of a fan perspective as well. What is the worry now? His first season wasn't great, wasn't bad, as you said, about a 2.5 WAR guy, but you know he can be much better than that, and he has been much better than that throughout his career, especially with Baltimore. But among Padres fans, what is the worry about the 10-year contract? Because we know, you know, with guys like A-Rod and Albert Pujols and guys who are kind of getting towards the end of those first waves of 10-year contracts, you know, back in the 2009, 2010, 2011 era of those contracts. What's the worry? What still is the worry? What was the worry, you know, last offseason of Padres fans for signing a guy, no matter who it was, to a 10-year deal where, you know, he'll be 36 at the end of this contract, and will it still be worth it to be paying him, you know, $30 million at that point?
So that's right. And while I was talking about all the positives of, hey, it's just year one and he's still 27, the negative way you can perceive it, and this is the worst case scenario, is that a lot of times when you sign these guys to big contracts, you're not expecting them to be good when they're like 34 and 35. You're expecting for that to be the unfortunate. And that's how baseball works, unfortunately, in a lot of ways. And in order to acquire that top tier talent, this is what happens sometimes. You got to give them those deals knowing that they're probably not going to pull through the entire way. At least in, I'd say, like 90% of scenarios. The counter to that is, well, the fact that year one, he already wasn't that impressive, it doesn't necessarily bode well. And it makes you think, oh no, if we get what we got from Machado last year, basically that's it. That's going to be the peak of his time in San Diego. That's the best he'll offer. that's going to be a disaster. And that's not because he's a bad player, but it's because of the contract. It's all about perspective and context of what's going on here. If this was some random dude that they picked up from the minor leagues, everyone would be losing their mind right now. They'd be like, oh my gosh, like imagine what happens when he develops more. But this is Manny Machado, and you need more from him. You need him to be that anchor for the team, both defensively and offensively. And you need to, you just need that in order for the team to come together. And you don't want a situation like I remember you alluded to the Kimbrel, Matt Kemp, Justin Upton kind of fiasco that they had. And that was a really, I don't know how they came back from that. You know what I mean? I don't know how that they had all three of those guys. Justin Upton was okay. Matt Kemp was okay. They were all okay, right? They weren't bad. That's what's interesting about that season is that none of those guys were bad. What I didn't like, though, is that they couldn't really get rid of them without getting a lot from it. But of course, they made up for it by the James Shield trade, which was fantastic because they acquired Fernando Tatis in it. So it's really been interesting, and I'm kind of a fan of AJ Preller. He reminds me, I've made this comparison on the podcast before, of kind of like a Sam Presti, who always, when he say he goes for it and he makes these big trades, so this is a little bit of basketball talk. I know it's not baseball, but still, stick with me on this. Sam Presti made that trade for Paul George, and he still got Russell Westbrook, right? And he's kind of firing for it. He's going for it, right? And then it doesn't turn out right, and he somehow finds a way to sell and still keep the Thunder in a good position when he trades Russell Westbrook and they have Chris Paul right now and that whole thing. And obviously basketball is suspended currently right now too, but he kind of reminds me of that GM who shoots for the stars and whatnot. And even when it goes wrong, always kind of finds a way to sell or to find a way to get back into the driver's seat and have a little bit more ammo in your war chest per se. But that's really, and I know I'm rambling now and just talking way too much, but that's what I would say about it is I can see Padres fans who are being pessimistic and they're saying, well, I mean, year one, the fact that he wasn't already was kind of a little bit of a down year and a little bit of a decline year doesn't bode well for the future. I tend to stick more towards the positive and say, whatever, it was a weird season. The team is better now. And maybe that is going to, and that's the other thing. This is a human sport, man. Like, there's human beings playing. Maybe Machado is going to be super jazz and going to be a gamer and be like, the team is great. I can't wait to be fielding grounders and playing that corner of the infield for Tatis. I can't wait to play when guys like Denelson Lament and Chris Paddock are on the mound. So I'm really excited about the season whenever it starts. And I think that there is just too much reason for optimism to expect. While I think that the Padres have blown a lot of situations over the course of the franchise history, especially the last decade, there's a lot more reason to be optimistic.
And that's kind of, you know, the last thing I want to go to before I let you go is what the Padres are doing over there with kind of recreating a somewhat Oriole-like scenario for Manny Machado, and not so much as how the team is built. I mean, this is a pitching heavy team with young batters who can become stars, but this is a team that it looks like the future pitching, you know, especially with Paddock at the top, could be the difference. But the guys the Orioles have brought in, I think there was a good article in The Athletic written about this, that you know, the Orioles have Manny, or the Padres, excuse me, have Manny Machado. They have Jimmy Yacobonis, a former Orioles right-handed reliever who will probably compete for a spot. I don't know if he'll be on the Padres opening day roster, more of a minor league guy. But then beyond that, they bring in Wayne Kirby, they bring in Bobby Dickerson, and they bring in former Orioles player Ryan Flaherty for his first coaching job as a developmental coach. Now, Flaherty was in the infield with Machado for years, and Kirby and Dickerson, Kirby was the first base coach, Dickerson the third base coach for Manny Machado, basically his entire tenure with the Orioles. And Dickerson, who was the infield coach, really worked a lot with Machado and was a big reason why his transition to third base when he came up was so seamless, was because of the work with Bobby Dickerson, who's known as one of the best kind of defensive infield coaches in the big leagues. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that, just that, you know, they kind of compiled some coaches around Machado where he's very used to these guys he worked with the Orioles for so many years. And if you thought, you know, that had anything to do with it, or it was just kind of a best fit thing to bring in Kirby and Dickerson and Flaherty.
I think that it was a good sign by the organization to be like, guess what? You had a down season. This is how I interpreted it. Almost, you had a down season. Guess what? It's fine. we're going to now do our best to make you better because you're our guy. I like this enthusiasm of hiring people who are around Machado. I feel like it shows that the Padres are not even close to out on him. They're not freaking out. They're saying, whatever, it's fine. We want you to do what you did in Baltimore. And if you did what you did in Baltimore, we're going to get you that championship ring. That's just as simple as that. And I really like that they are surrounding him with guys that are going to hopefully help him here at the third base and really just get him back to a more consistent third base type of player. And even if he doesn't deliver offensively, I think that defense, it could really just really be a game changer. It could be like an Andrelton Simmons type of guy where it doesn't matter what he does sometimes offensively. As long as he's playing that third base position, he's going to give you like a 3 or 4 war type of season. And that's going to be fantastic. And in general, I like that the Machado era so far has just been kind of carefree. It hasn't been too dramatic. While he wasn't necessarily great last year, and we talked about this on our podcast, there wasn't too much dirty player type of things following him. He was just kind of playing baseball, and I think that Padres fans were relieved that we didn't really have to deal with it. Of course, they had that situation with the Diamondbacks game against John Ryan Murphy, where a lot of people were accusing him of dropping the bat after he popped up, intentionally near John Ryan Murphy. To that I say, grow up, guys. How about the guy catches the ball? You know what I mean? This wasn't an egregious play. And honestly, baseball, I don't know if you've played baseball before, Connor, it's frustrating. And sometimes when you see, oh my God, I just hit another pop-up, you just drop the bat wherever and you just start running and you're not really thinking for like that split second. You just get frustrated. It's really hard. Baseball's impossibly hard. I remember Jason Worth one time quoted and was saying like, it's the hardest thing to do in the universe. Can't disagree with the guy. But in general, aside from that kind of nonsense story, I felt it's really been this team that I think is there's a chemistry. I feel like that's starting to develop. And I think that Tommy Pham is another example of that, who I love. He's a warlock. I've called him that on the podcast before. And I think that having that guy who's been there before, who's also been in the playoffs before, having that veteran type of leadership, as well as just being a great player, it just bodes well for the entire team in general. And I think that the Padres still believe in Machado, and I think that fans should as well, too.
Well, Javier, thanks so much for kind of, you know, letting Orioles dip back into the Manny Machado experience and let us know how he's doing over there in San Diego. And thanks so much for coming on the pod, and we hope we have baseball back soon so we can watch Manny continue to play the way he does and make the plays he does, most likely at third base for the Padres.
Absolutely, sir. Do not sleep on the Padres this year.
So again, our thanks to Javier for joining us on the pod today to talk about Manny Machado. Of course, he was on that greatest Orioles of all time bracket we're doing. He was the number 6 seed. He's one of the best Orioles we've had of all time. And you know, it was upsetting on one side to not re-sign him and not see him being an Oriole uniform his entire career. But on the other side, like we talked about, you know, by the time it got time to think about that contract late in his rookie deal, it was too late for the Orioles, and they were not going to be a winner, so the best decision was to trade him. But you really wish they would have locked him up early and maybe could have kept that winning window open a little longer. But for me, it's wishing all the best to Machado in San Diego. And as we talked with Javier about, hopefully that the Padres are putting together a winner at the moment and can continue to add pieces, and those young guys can continue to play well, and that could be a pretty good team in the National League in the next couple of years. So again, if you like what you're hearing on the pod, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a rating and a review. It helps a whole lot. Again, earlier in the week, yesterday, we had Matt McDonald from the Diamondback on as we scoot away from sports a little bit, but we thought it was important to have him come on and talk about the stay-at-home order issued by Governor Hogan in Maryland yesterday. Matt covers Maryland state politics for the Diamondback, and he did a good job of explaining kind of what that order means for the day-to-day lives of you guys out there in the state of Maryland. And then coming up later this week, tomorrow, we're going to have John Mioli, Orioles beat writer from the Baltimore Sun, on to talk about
The agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Association about payment for this year. Talk a little bit about minor leaguers getting paid. Talk about the draft. Talk about Orioles spring training. A little bit of everything with John Mioli. And then later in the week, we will continue to look at our greatest Oriole of all time championship matchup between Cal Ripken and Brooks Robinson. Again, the voting will be Wednesday through Saturday on our Twitter account at Locked On Orioles. So make sure to go vote right there starting on Wednesday morning. So this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball.